For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Monday on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550. Brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.
Now rolls to his right, has room, fires, and he finds an open receiver in the end zone, Westbrook Akine, for a four-yard touchdown reception. Back-to-back scoring drives for the Titans.
You are dead! I saw you die!
Handoff goes to Cook, through a hole, to the five, into the end zone for the touchdown!
I was faking. I used ninja focus to slow my heart rate down.
Blitz coming, fires over the middle, for Amari Super Cooper for a 12-yard touchdown reception!
What are you doing?
Hearing you.
Looks underneath, complete to Ty Johnson for a four-yard touchdown reception.
You're waking the neighbors. Oh. Shut up.
Cuts it inside, spins out of a tackle. Down to the 10, to the 5, as Hollins in front of him, and into the end zone. Ray the pile driver Davis.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hey, everybody. Victory Monday. Happy Buffalo Bills Football Monday. It's brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Josh Schmidt on the open there. The tale of two halves. It's kind of like my golf round on Saturday. Boy, the front, I don't like to talk about that. I'll tell you a lot about the back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody's had that before. Joe Brady, rough on the front nine, back nine warrior. Bills win.
They've become back nine warriors, consistently here.
They've had now four games in a row. Where one half, they score seven or less. This was seven. Yeah. The previous three games, they had a half with three.
And three of them were the second half, and the other one was the first half? Is that right?
Houston second half, Jets second half, Baltimore first half.
Right.
And then this game, seven in the second. I mean, Baltimore, they only scored 10 overall.
Seven in the first half, and how long did it take them to get a first down in this game?
Yeah.
Was it an hour of real time?
It was a long time.
Like, was it after? I think it was after 2 o'clock. I might want to guess it was after 2 o'clock, their first down.
We all said some things maybe we didn't mean, you know.
What'd you say?
I said they should let Josh Allen call plays. I tweeted it after, you know, 20 years doing this.
Uh-huh.
Like, all right.
Let the quarterback do it?
I was so frustrated by how often they're calling running plays.
Oh, it was the same thing early. It was first down run, second down. Well, second down was the mystery down because it was the same thing. First down run, third down pass,
yep.
And second down was the one that you actually didn't know.
Well, second down you kind of did know. They had three. All right, we'll get right into our complaints. Hey, they won, and they're going to win the division, and all we can do now is evaluate them.
They are going to cruise to the division.
When should we have the party? On Thanksgiving?
I mean,
like they're up 3.5 games.
The Jets' schedule does get softer, but like, whatever. They're going to make up four games on the Bills.
Yeah,
they are so cooked. They got
not only are they cooked.
That was a game, by the way, tale of two halves for them because we're even watching the highlights now. It was 15-6 with 30 seconds to go in the first quarter. What'd the game end?
37-15.
Jeez.
Yep.
Jets.
So, and Rodgers is blaming anybody but himself again. Like he said, the team came out flat. Good for you. All right, so you mentioned second down.
Yeah.
Good morning, 803-0550.
Bills are 5-2.
The source of my frustration was entirely second and five, run for four.
Uh-huh.
Second and five, false start on what was going to be a run play.
Uh-huh.
Second and five, run for -1. This team I can't get over second and favorable and what they do. It's almost like they feel like they need to eat their vegetables. And this is where people will point to, well, McDermott wants them to be run heavy or this or that. You know, it's a work in progress. This is a game where Curtis Samuel goes out and Amari Cooper is brand new to the offense. They did throw to him on the first third down, which was interesting.
They did.
Yeah. So, you know, it's a team that's, they're almost in a transition within a transition right now. Right? Oh, Bean called it a transition year. Now he's talking like they're all in. Good. Because I think they're good enough to do a lot of things here. And right now they have to transition from the offense that they were, everybody eats, to play the hits. That's the new slogan. We can come up with a better one if you want. Play the hits.
Kind of like that, yeah.
And what are the hits? Coleman, Shakir, Cooper, Kincaid. Play the hits.
Yeah.
Throw it to those guys. End of story. A throw to Dawson Knox, don't need it. A throw to Mac Hollins, no thanks. Every once in a while, you can mix those in, but I don't need a throw to Dawson Knox when he's covered. I don't need a throw to Mac Hollins when he's covered. I need the ball going to Cooper, and that's going to take a little time to get going.
Mm-hmm.
Coleman, who, man, I feel like you should be buzzing about Coleman after this game.
Yeah.
This is a good game from Keon Coleman, a really good game. And Khalil Shakir, and what'd you get from Kincaid? Was it the most vertical game he's played yet? Like, down the field to Kincaid.
He averaged 17 yards a catch. He went 3 for 52. How many catches would you think on average it takes Kincaid to get to 52 in a game?
Six.
Yeah, at least, right?
Yep, six.
3 for 52. That little corner, that big corner route that he had, the one that they reviewed, they thought maybe he dropped it, or maybe that he, it got punched out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was 25 of it right there.
Josh Allen's passing chart had passes down the field. It was not as much of the screen, dink and dunk. There was some of that. But they made plays in the passing game. They had three passes of over 20 yards, something that they had not been able to get. So the explosive play offense woke up, and it's back. And, you know, part of my frustration is probably impatience, Joe. I wanted to see it right away. And with, as I started to say, with Samuel out and Cooper in, now you only have four wide receivers on your roster that can play, and Cooper doesn't know the offense. So you're kind of limited a little bit there. But they got it rolling, and they found a way to get the victory. So
I mean, he knew enough of it to go, 4 for 64 and a touchdown? Like, he still had a day.
He did.
I had to start him in a guillotine league, and I was very happy.
Yeah.
I was nervous at the beginning, though, because he wasn't playing a lot.
On his touchdown, Emmanuel Acho and a couple others have broken down what happened on that play. Did you see it?
Coleman
yeah.
having to point to him? Yeah.
Allen calls the check to the second play, alert, alert, and you see Amari Cooper look at Keon Coleman and say, what do I do?
Right, he doesn't know that check.
Yeah, he doesn't know that. And Coleman kind of points and gestures, like, okay, I got it. And he goes and scores a touchdown.
Shouldn't the corner do better there? Coleman's pointing to the inside.
I know.
Like, if you're the corner, Coleman's just told you what Cooper's going to do. He still gets open on you in the middle.
He not only gets open, look to me like the safety there who's covering him is trying to prevent him from breaking inside. Like, all right, I'm gonna take away inside. And Cooper did it anyway, which is something we've seen him do. He shook the guy loose. He got separation. He caught the touchdown.
Oh, the other route that he caught, the one that was kind of like a vertical route that only went for like maybe it was like 15, 20 yards. Allen like put it in there. It was kind of covered. Watch his release off the line of scrimmage, and I tell you, it is like a mirror of Diggs.
Yep.
The like quick little foot shuffle, the quick twitch just to shake the corner at the line of scrimmage. Oh, they don't have another receiver that does that move.
Not right now. When we talked to Stevie Johnson in studio here on Friday, we were talking about things like the release package, and it's a great debut for Cooper, and he's not even really a full part of this offense. So he showed the resume when he came in the door, he showed yesterday in a few reps, whatever. That's your number one receiver. He looked like a number one receiver, and when he gets to be a big part of this offense, it'll be more for him. So forget everybody eats, play the hits. Joe Marino had this on this stat. 25 of 32 targets went to those four guys, and that's how it should be.
Okay if everybody eats if that's the everybody.
Right.
Just those four.
Those four. It should probably be like 28 out of 32. You know, you're going to throw it to a running back occasionally. You're going to sprinkle everybody else in. But Cooper, Coleman, Kincaid, Shakir.
And really, in essence, like that phrase has been, you know, repeated so often. Isn't that really what it should be? It shouldn't be nine guys all getting a catch or two. Like, everybody eats in its essence should really be four guys getting most of it. Or almost all of it, right? And all being productive. Green Bay was thrown up as a blueprint in the offseason, which felt nuts for how early they were in their build. And what was Green Bay last year? It wasn't 10 guys, it was 4 guys, right? It was Watson, and it was Reed, and it was Wicks, and it was, there's another one I'm probably missing there. Oh, Dobbs. Like, it was mostly those 4. Everyone else was just like, same thing as yesterday with the Bills. Like, 1 catch here for Dawson Knox, 1 catch for a touchdown there for Ty Johnson. Not much, but it's 4 guys that are doing most of the damage. And especially Samuel's going to be hurt. Like, I think Samuel could play his way into that, but I don't know. He just kind of doesn't feel like he's a part of it.
Well, there are parts of this
offense. Or that they even need it.
There are parts of this offense, whether that's Curtis Samuel or sometimes it's, you know, Mac Hollins.
The 12 personnel packages,
yeah,
with Knox.
Which is where Coleman caught his big play. The run game, when it's not really working that well, it feels like sometimes the Bills are trying to make certain things happen rather than just going with what works for them. And when they once they find their rhythm, that's the other thing. Allen, 4 for 11 in the first half. As much as we talk about, hey, you want to get into a rhythm, the number one thing the Bills should be doing every game is getting him in a rhythm fast. Get the quarterback in a rhythm. That's the most important thing. Right, you can talk about the offense needing this, and you want to be multidimensional, you want to show this, show that, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. The number one thing Joe Brady's job is early in this game, any game, is get your quarterback into a rhythm. And maybe the Cooper drop stops that early, so that's nobody's fault other than Amari Cooper, who dropped the pass. He catches that pass, it's first down on your first possession, and your new guy caught it. Like, the fact that they went to Cooper there, I think, is a good message. Hey, We gave him one play. Let's see how it goes. He dropped it. All right. You should go back to him right away. Go back to him as soon as possible. But, you know, they can't get into a rhythm if you can't get first downs. Everybody knows that. But I'd want to get the quarterback in one. 4 of 11 in the first half at one point. Like, that's the Houston game all over again, which is just brutal. So we're seeing these long, sleepy stretches against opponents. And once they kind of remember, and once they let Josh cook is kind of where I want to get to, you know? Let Josh do his thing. He's great. And he was great yesterday, over 300 yards, found guys, made plays. And if you notice, Joe, he didn't have to make too many, or did he make any? Roll out, freak show, down the field throws.
Yeah, not really. The Coleman one in the first half was close to that.
Okay.
But he wasn't, like, fully out of the pocket even. Like, he was starting maybe to do it, and then he saw Coleman and threw it.
Everything on the offense, and Tennessee has a really good defense. Once they kind of got into where they needed to get, it was not Allen needs to create everything. It was options are available. The menu's in front of him. He can find Cooper. He can find Coleman. And, you know, the idea that you're going to distribute the ball, it's organic. It always was probably going to be organic. And here it is again, where it's those big 4. They got the ball. Those are your 4 best players on offense. Keep feeding them. So a good win, a really good win, and we'll talk about it with you at 803-0550. We'll get into the defense, into the special teams. Brandon Codrington had a big role in this game.
Yeah.
Part of the reason the Bills got back in it, they got short fields.
Yeah.
They were able to get short fields.
I think my thing I might regret, your tweet was what? That Josh Allen should be calling plays. Mine might have been that Codrington should be playing on offense at one point.
Yeah.
Real quick, to your point on like getting Allen in a rhythm, is it a coincidence yesterday that the Bills began 5 drives with a pass? They scored on 4 of those. 4 touchdowns out of 5 on those. All the other drives that they started with runs, 1 field goal and then all punts. And the passing plays they began drives with. So the first one they started a drive, it was a Shakir pass for 6 yards. The next play, by the way, was that Coleman 44-yarder. Then second half, these are how they started drives. Allen to Coleman for 14 yards, that was 1 drive. Allen to Cooper for 27 yards, that was another. Allen to Coleman for 57 yards. Every drive they threw the ball to start a drive, it was for a big play.
Yeah, throw it.
Just throw it.
Just throw more.
They got
just
there.
That
was kind of like the Cardinal game for me. The Cardinal game in week 1 was they tried to run the ball. They were running it so much early in that game. Then they got behind, and the game script dictated, like, okay, we got to throw a little bit more here. And then what happened? They got right back into the game. They took the lead, and they won the football game. And that's kind of what happened to me yesterday. They got down by 10 to the Titans, and the game script dictated, all right, we got to throw the ball a little bit more. They were forced into the thing that works for them, and then they just never looked back.
Yeah, I mean, maybe, who knows what Joe Brady's thinking at the time, but again, like, on things that we want back, and I saw, of course, our buddy Andrew Filippone said it, was making like a joke, I think, about Mason Rudolph, but Mason Rudolph is outplaying Josh Allen. He was.
There was a point,
And I thought, this can't happen. It can't happen. You can't have an offense that is that bad with a quarterback that is this good. So they've had a couple stretches of it, and hopefully they can, you know, avoid that in the really, really important games as they continue on. 803-0550, Buffalo Bills Victory Monday. We'll get your calls in and get started early on the defense and how they played, you know, turn the ball over a couple times. They did the thing the Bills do also, which is get beat early and then lock it down. So for whatever reason, scripted plays, teams come in and they can script a good game against the Bills, and then it seems to go south from there. Think about Baltimore's first possession. What'd they do? They had a play they knew they wanted to run. They got the look they wanted. They ran it, and they ran an 85-yard touchdown on the first play. Like, if there's one thing to say about the Bills' defense and their tendencies, I think their opponents know their tendencies, and they can work the Bills for those tendencies, at least for, you know, the first 10, 15 plays of a game. Here's Tennessee. Just guys wide open, leaking tight ends into the flat, yards after catch. And the Bills seem like they have no answers. And then once Tennessee goes to their normal offense outside of their scripted plays, the game changes. So two things to watch for going forward. How the offense adjusts, how the defense adjusts, of course. And, you know, now the division is...
Tua, I guess, is going to come back this week.
Okay.
But... How are you supposed to respect that as a threat? They're 2.5 games back, and their only head-to-head meeting left against the Bills is here in Buffalo, and the Bills just, they own them.
They own them, and it's going to be here, and it's going to be fine. Let's go to the phones. Zach in West Seneca is going to lead us off on a Victory Monday. Hey, Zach, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Hey, I called about 1,000 times advocating for another receiver. Slotted everybody down. Cooper's not going to be a world beater, but he's exactly what they needed right now. You got him going off, you know, the 3-4 catches. Coleman finally goes for 100, and then you sprinkle in the Kalusakir and Dalton Kincaid. It's reminiscent of 2020 where Allen had outlets, you know, short. I just caught myself thinking, much like everybody else, first half, like, what could they do differently? And you got to know that's how McDermott teams are traditionally, you know, kind of slow first half, and then they kick them in the butt in the second. There's a vintage McDermott win in that way where they just blow them out. But I just was thinking, like, why can't they get Shakir to do the old catches that Beasley had where it was like 3-yard, like just snap throw. And then finally that was kind of coming. I hope we see more of that going forward. I hope you see more of the stuff to Cooper on the outside. It was exactly what you wanted. And it's crazy in the first half, especially with the first Amari drop where you're like, okay, it's maybe not going to happen this week. And then it happens. I think overall being hugely the division and it's nice. It's early, but it's really nice. The other thing is like, you just got to keep in mind, like maybe this is, they can morph, if they can do this the rest of the way, I mean, they got to maybe just come out and start throwing like they did that second half. You know, it's funny you guys say they almost got forced into it, being down 10-0. Maybe they learned something. McDermott's a smart guy. Maybe they learned, hey, we finally got some pieces, finally got some outlets for Allen. And then my mega point, I almost forgot. Guys, I cannot, and I don't have a problem with him. I can never watch Matt Collins catch a pass ever again. For the love of God, I just can't take it. I mean, he's not even a good number five receiver. He's never open. They're draped all over him. And it's like stone hands. And I know he's had some production in the league. I think this is it for him. I think it's his last, you know, I know we slotted everybody else down. I'd love to slot him, you know, what was the old video we had on GR years ago where they'd say, Ruvell, you're cut. It reminds me of Ruvell Martin. He needs to get cut and get the hell out of here. I mean, nice guy. The DIY videos are cool. and I think it's cool that he walks barefoot down 28, but dude, Ravel, you're cut. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Zach.
You ever seen his DIY videos?
I have.
His social media, you'll become a better homeowner by following Matt Collins.
The thing I would say about Hollins is he's just going to start to, it'll continue to fade back where he should be.
He had one target yesterday and one of their receivers got injured.
Yeah.
So, I'm looking forward to him. What was the one target he had? It was on a third down where he was covered. I'm just looking forward to when Allen has to throw the ball to somebody he trusts when everybody's covered, that ball's not going to Mac Hollins anymore.
I don't think it will be. I mean, if Curtis Samuel is healthy, I wonder if Mac Hollins, how much he's on the field.
Right.
If you're running 11 personnel, your formation now includes, your personnel package includes Keon Coleman, Khalil Shakir, and Amari Cooper. Like, he's out of that. And then the other formation you go into often is 12. Like, he's firmly behind.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And Coleman and Cooper on the outside.
And I think as a number five receiver, he's probably fine.
I would agree. One target.
That's appropriate for what he is, I think. He's going to play special teams. He played special teams yesterday, as he always does. Like, that's his role on most teams. Every team he's played on. He's been in the league. This is his, what, seventh season in the NFL? Eighth season in the NFL? And all but one, that's been his role. There was 1 year in Vegas where he was a starting wide receiver. Every other year, this is what he was. Fifth receiver and a special teamer.
Mo in New Jersey, next up. Hey, Mo, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. I appreciate you taking the call. Always good to call on a victory Monday. You know, I know Mac Hollins maybe won't get the credit for, you know, catches, but he had a really nice block on that Ray Davis touchdown. He basically blocked two guys, and it was a meaningless touchdown at the end of the game, but it was nice to see him. That's what Gabe Davis used to do for us. That's what it reminds me of. Anyway, one thing I want to talk about before I get to my point is you guys are talking about tendencies. There's certain tendencies that scare the hell out of me. It's both of our third down tendencies on offense and on defense. I know, you know, towards the end of the game, especially in the second half, we shut it down. But that first half was just like, it hurt to watch the way our offense and defense played. First of all of those run plays on first and second down. I mean, we have one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL. It's debatable top two, three, one, whatever you want to say. You know, why are we not throwing the ball more on first down? It blows my mind. And, you know, I'm so glad we have Amari Cooper. I've been calling for weeks now saying we need to get somebody. We got him. He had a heck of a game. The first play that we threw at him and he dropped it, I'm like, yeah, maybe he's not used to the quarterback hitting him in his hand. He'll be okay. And he ended up having a really good day. And I'm glad he's on our team. And, like, you know, I really hope that, you know, going forward, We don't do this first down run, second down run, third down and six, you know, incomplete pass. Now we have 3-3 now to start the game. And the other thing is, why we took the ball, they were staying on the broadcast because of the wind.
Yeah.
You know, you get the ball, go three now. Like, thank God that didn't set the tone for the whole game, but that really set the tone for the first half.
Yeah, that decision, thanks, Mo. You want to control you having the wind in the fourth quarter. That's why they did that. In the second half comes, they choose the wind. Okay, I mean, maybe there'll be different opinions on how windy it was. I was at the game. I did not think it was that windy.
No.
Did they think it was going to be windy? Even so, like, that is a decision in case it's a close game. I want to make sure I have a little advantage in the fourth quarter. I mean, to change what you do so fundamentally, the double dip is something that every team wants to try to get. You know, back-to-back possessions, score late, score early. And to give that to Tennessee, I don't know. I don't understand it, to be totally honest. The last time the Bills took the ball first was a game in Cincinnati, maybe. There was a game that they decided we will take it first, and they also did not do well in their first possession. So it's an interesting change, deviation from what they normally do.
And on Cooper with the drops, like, that's a warning sign.
Yeah,
it is funny to like, first pass, Allen throwing the ball probably five times harder than Deshaun Watson ever did to him. Like, oh, wow, like, look at this thing. But he's a player that's had drop problems really his entire career. Like, once in a while, those are probably going to happen.
Yeah, they're
going to
have drops. 803-0550. We're going to break in. If you're on hold, Larry, Rob, stick with us. Buffalo Bills, Football Monday, Victory Monday. And Football Monday brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. We'll take you inside the locker room, get you around the league. Talk with Sal. Talk with Chris Brown. Check in on the Jets. Mess. Looks messier than ever right now. Devontae Adams had a really nice tackle on an interception.
Really nice play of the game.
He's bought in. He tackled the guy at the one. That's how you know he's committed. He's ready. Jeremy and Joe, Victory Monday on WGR.
Here's the snap. Back to pass, looking left. Now right, has time. Looking open down the field. Complete to Coleman at the 34, 25, 20, 15, and is wrestled to the ground at the 11-yard line. Big pass play to the rookie who was wide open. Allen back to pass, has time, looks underneath, complete to Ty Johnson for a 4-yard touchdown reception. Josh Allen went to the check down and Johnson rewarded him.
Chris Brown on the call, one of the highlights of the game, brought to you by Northland Workforce Training Center. Train for what's next. Let's get into some Skyworks stats of the game, brought to you by Skyworks Equipment Rental, building America from the ground up. Tony Pollard, 16 for 61. No Tajay Spears in this game for the Titans. And a team that leans into its run game, 16 for 61. So the Bills' run defense took care of business. Mason Rudolph, 25 of 40 for 215, was sacked three times, had an interception. There was a fumbled snap as well. So the Bills did the job. Josh Allen, 21 of 33, 323, two touchdowns. And 21 of 33, do the math there. That's 17 of 22 in the second half. Things got going a lot better. James Cook, 12 for 32.
Yep.
Consider the run established.
Yes, he got a touchdown.
He did.
Best run of the game.
So that's the funny part. Ready for this?
Yeah.
He had an 11-yard run. The other 11 carries, 11 for 21 for James Cook.
Okay.
Seems like a play you should maybe do a little less against the Tennessee team anyway. Then there's Keon Coleman, 125 on seven targets. Amari Cooper, 66 yards. Khalil Shakir, 65 yards. Kincaid, 52 on three targets. And the Bills had four receivers with a 20-yard reception or longer. Shakir, 20. Kincaid, 25. Cooper, 27. Coleman, 57. Coleman is, I'm starting to get excited. Not only because of what he's shown he can do, but now that insulation of Cooper over top of him to take more attention. Like, I think Coleman, I don't know what the number I want to put as like for his ceiling, but he's going to have a really strong, he's going to have a bigger role, I think, and he's having a strong rookie season.
I'm now looking at him as, given that Cooper is here, like the need of the separator, the X receiver, the number one on the outside is here, that I can now think of Coleman more as this is the Gabe Davis replacement. And he does more than Gabe Davis does.
Yeah.
And like maybe Davis is a better blocker. Maybe Davis makes fewer mistakes on a play-to-play basis. But Coleman is a more dangerous player than Gabe Davis is.
And would you say,
I think,
of all the rookie receivers right now, I'm not going to tell you he's the best or going to win Rookie of the Year. No way. Like Malik Nabers is a freak show. Brian Thomas Jr. is doing really well. But if you were just to evaluate it on rookie situations, doesn't he have one of the most favorable rookie situations right now? Let's go back to the rookie class. Worthy got drafted by Andy Reid, and it's Hollywood Brown and Travis Kelce and Mahomes. And there's a lot there, and now Brown's hurt, and like they don't have the pieces that Rashi Rice got hurt. Right. Worthy was supposed to be insulated by three other targets. That's all gone now. That's dried up for him. So he, like, in terms of rookie situation, I think Coleman's in a really good spot to thrive, and he started to really look good. So good for him. Very exciting.
One other stat for you, by the way. Josh Allen yesterday became the third, pretty specific stat, but Allen is the third quarterback in NFL history through seven games of a season to have 10 or more passing touchdowns and no interceptions.
No picks.
10 touchdowns. No, wait, it's more than that now. I forgot what the number is, but he's zero picks. And the only two others are like Alex Smith and Milt Plum from the 60s. That's it. Zero picks. If he goes zero picks, he's going to win MVP.
Milt Plum.
Milt Plum.
I got to get a
Milt Plum reference on the show.
I got to get a Milt Plum jersey.
Meanwhile, Mahomes leads the league in interceptions now with 8.
And they're undefeated.
Let's see everybody put their mind around turnovers now that the Chiefs are 6-0.
Yep.
I'm actually looking forward to it. I'm not even mad that he has 8 picks. I like that Mahomes has 8 picks and that they're undefeated because now everyone in the national media is going to be faced with the reality of, oh, wait, maybe turnovers don't matter as much as we thought they did.
Yep.
Because Mahomes has 8 and they're still undefeated?
803-0550 to South Florida, Larry. Good morning, Larry. Happy Victory Monday.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Always a pleasure to chat with you. So the second half, wow. First half, wow. So think about this. You guys were talking stats. I love stats. So I'm happy you did that. Four of the five scoring drives started with a pass, not a run. First half. First three series are three and out, but the first two series, run, run, pass, run, run, pass. We attempt 11 passing attempts in the first half, little or no motion, and it looked like just, you know, Josh was hoping for a prayer that one of those passes will be caught. Second half, 22 attempts. So he doubled his amount in the first half. And holy moly, what a difference in the half. Every time we do this, and you remember, was it that win game that we lost to New England? McDermott was so damn conservative. They just run, 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 run. We can't throw in this. Well, you got the strongest arm in the league. When he finally let him throw, that's when we came back and almost won that game, which we probably should have won that game. So how much statistics is it going to take for McDermott to realize the strength of our offense is when the run supports the pass, not the pass supports the run? It took him a whole half to finally let Joe Brady call the type of game he wanted to call. Maybe that was Joe Brady's fault in the first half, but I got to think Brady having Burrow for all those years in college and then having Allen now and having the experience that guy has at his young age is a lot smarter than what he produced in the first half. So this team, now that we have Cooper, has a downfield threat. It was so wonderful to see us throw downfield finally. And that touchdown pass to Cooper right over the middle, I almost jumped out of my bar stool because I was so excited. We went over the middle, right halfway down the line there. It was a beautiful thing to see. And that's what we need to do to start really competing. Because if we have another first half like that, with the exception of maybe the Jets and the Patriots, we don't beat another team in the NFL. So thanks for taking my call, fellas.
Thanks, Larry. Cooper, I mean, it went about as well as you could hope for outside of the drop to open things up. Look good.
Running the type of routes you would think he would, yep. Doing the types of things
finding
he would.
Spots in zones. I saw, yeah, you know, all the stats, if everybody loves stats. He averaged this is a weird one. He had the highest average speed he'd had in a game.
Yeah.
Which average speed is how fast you're running at all times, not just top speed. So I don't know if that means that they put him in more of a position to get moving.
Yeah.
Vertically.
Vertically.
Yeah. Than the Browns had in the last couple of years. But it was his fastest average speed since 2020.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe
if that's the game he has when he doesn't know the full playbook, it looks like he's going to be really important.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like the results he has on the rest of the offense, if that is only him knowing part of it, then that trade is going to go really well for them, I think.
803-0550. Yeah, the top end of what the Cooper trade looks like, oh, it's starting to percolate for me a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, it's always been like, this is a good idea. He opens things up. What if he's unbelievably good? And it's what if it's a better fit than anyone could have imagined? That's kind of what Diggs was. I mean, when they traded for Diggs, it was, hey, this guy's pretty good. I wonder what the fit will be like. And then 1,500 yards.
Right.
Oh, look, turns out it works great.
Yeah.
And that's always going to be where I land with Allen. You know, for a little bit there, we got into, well, he'll make players that aren't that good, he'll make them better. Okay. Take players that are already good and see what you get when you pair them with Josh Allen. And that's what we're seeing with Cooper in one game. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. It was a beautiful day. Beautiful day there in Orchard Park.
Yeah.
Absolutely perfect. Maybe a little warm. But it was
come
fine.
On.
It was fine.
It was warmer than week one.
It was.
By like a couple degrees, I think.
It was. I never had to take off the quarter zip, though. I was able to kind of just,
that, you know, well, that's perfect then, right?
Well.
Unless it's right on the edge and then.
It was right on the edge and I didn't think it was worth taking off. I kept it on. It's a light quarter zip.
Today and tomorrow, I think you're taking the quarter zip off. Tomorrow's like 72.
Rob in Connecticut. Hey, Rob.
Hey, good morning, Joe. Good morning, Jeremy. Hey, I got a good one for you, Jeremy. We got to start off the day like this. What do you get when you cross an owl and a goat?
I don't know.
A hoot nanny, because that was a real hoot nanny of a game yesterday, my friend.
It was a fun one. 34-10.
Yes, it was. Anyway, listen, you know, yesterday I was talking to you, and my curiosity was satisfied. One of the things that I brought up was the wide receivers. I wanted to see what Joe Brady was going to do with moving the pieces around. And Amari Cooper is definitely a distraction for the other defenses, which is going to help us down the road. And the other thing I want to say is I get frustrated with some of the fans that call up and just come down on DeMar Hamlin so much. I mean, he's leading the team in interceptions now. He plays very well. So I think he should stay on the field for a while. Lay off DeMar Hamlin. I think he's doing a great job. With that, guys, I'm just going to listen to you guys. You're going to break down the game.
Yeah.
And thanks.
Thanks, Rob. Have a good Monday. Hamlin, another pick for him. You know, this one, both of them have kind of fallen to him a little bit.
He just doesn't really make mental mistakes. Like, I don't think, you watch him run with the football. He's not a very good athlete. Like, but by state safety standards, like, he's not a great athlete to me. And maybe that's why he was a sixth-round pick. But I don't know that that dude has ever makes mental mistakes. Like, he wasn't the culprit of the big Nico Collins play of the season, right? Like, when him and Rapp are in there, they're maybe not making the big game-changing plays that Hyde and Poyer were, but the one thing Rapp and Hamlin are not doing to me when they are both on the field together is they are not allowing big plays over the top of them.
803-0550, Victory Monday. I am the quarterback when we return, and more of your phone calls as well. Sal, top of the hour, 7 o'clock, to break it down from the sidelines. A perfect day in Orchard Park. Not so great first half, but whatever. Other than that, perfect day, 34 unanswered points. Victory Monday, Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
I hope so.
Yeah, it looked pretty good. I mean, it's a huge shout out to him for putting in the extra hours of getting ready for this game. It's not easy being traded in the week and playing a game and playing real live reps where he played quite a bit. Shout out to him. DJ Mangus, you know, wide receiver assistant coach, putting in a lot of work with him, Coach Henry, and guys in the building that put a lot of effort into getting him ready to go. So, yeah, that's huge to have him out there.
That slice of audio from Josh Allen, brought to you by Picasso's Pizza, your game day tailgating headquarters. Let's get to Eye on the Quarterback, brought to you by Great Lakes Building Systems. We keep an eye on your business so you don't have to. Our business is protecting your business. Allen threw the ball to Amari Cooper when he was on the field.
Yes, he did.
Cooper was not on for very many snaps. I mean, a good number. 35% of the offensive snaps, roughly. And Cooper was targeted on almost half of those. I mean, if you think his snap count itself, he was just under half of the times he ran a route, he got the ball thrown to him. So I wonder what the ceiling is for him in this offense. You know, he didn't know the full offense, and there's evidence of that on his touchdown reception where Keon Coleman has to kind of tell him what the route is. So at halftime, Joe, I was frustrated. At halftime, I may have shouted out loud, I think the Rams traded for Baker Mayfield on a Tuesday and he won a game on a Thursday.
Yeah, he did.
You can throw the ball to Amari Cooper a couple of times. and they did. So everything worked out, you know?
When the odds update this morning, you think Allen's going to be the favorite for MVP?
Today?
Mm-hmm. 12 touchdowns, no picks on
Wait,
the season.
Wait, do they come out today or tomorrow?
Because they'll update it every day.
Is Derrick Henry going to run for 180 and 3 touchdowns tonight? Because if he does, I think Derrick Henry should start to get a conversation about MVP
every year. With Although, this, though, like they're never going to.
It would also be counterintuitive, though. A running back went to the team with the MVP. How could that running back be the MVP? You know, that's a little bit. It shouldn't work that way,
right?
But I'm gonna at least respect. There'll be some noise for Derrick Henry because the league might be desirous of having a running back win it again. More of your calls. Spencer, stick with us. We'll get to your call with Sal on the other side. We're up against a break, but I've got a big, long, juicy segment coming up on a Victory Monday as we roll through. Bills Football Monday, Victory Monday, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.